Also, there were two little girls behind that piano there. So, thank you to both of them. Announcements? Not very much. But one thing I want to announce, and we'll announce this again Sunday, Kara Dickinson is graduating from high school. She'll be in the class of 2020. In fact, she's already graduated. There will be a celebration of her graduation June the 20th from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock at the Longhorn Head and Tail Pavilion out in Barnesville on Muskrat Road, and you all know where that's at. So that's June the 20th on a Sunday afternoon, if I'm not mistaken, and that is in Barnesville, Ohio. Kara has become a young lady. We have had the joy of watching that down through the years. Tonight I want to talk to you about something that I'm sure you're all aware of. That's voices. We hear voices all the time. We are bombarded with voices. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I want to read there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting in verse 1. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spoke with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edification, edifying. And now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall they be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Father, we ask your blessing on the reading of your word, and I pray, Lord, that you'll open our hearts, open our ears, that we may understand what the Scripture has to say about voices. We pray for our pastor, and we pray that you keep he and his family safe and give them a joyous time away from us. Bring them back all rested and refreshed. And now, Lord, I ask that you bless this message, bless this service, bless the ears that hear it. Keep the mouth that speaks it from saying something that doesn't need to be said. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Reminded me of a story. We had a long passage of Scripture, and there's a lot of different topics can come out of this passage of Scripture. This little fellow was standing out under an oak tree, and he had his BB gun. And he had that thing pointed in the tree, and every so often he'd shoot. Well, his One of the neighbors there who had a tendency to keep his nose in the sauce wobbled over there. And he said to the little fellow, he says, "What are you doing?" And the little fellow standing there with his BB gun says, "Well, there's a big fat gray squirrel in that tree. And I'm going to get him, and we're going to have squirrel stew, and I'm going to have a squirrel tail to put on my bicycle." And he looks and he shoots a couple more times and he misses both times. Well, the drunk looks at him and he says, "Here, son, let me see that BB gun." So he grabs the BB gun out of the boy's hand and he reels around a little bit and looks up in a tree and he starts around and he goes around and bang! And out tumbles this squirrel. And the boy runs over and picks it up, and then the drunk looks at him. He says, "Now you see how that's done?" The kid says, "Well, no wonder you aimed all over the tree." And I'm not going to try to aim all over the tree tonight. We're going to aim at verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in our world, in the world, and none of them is without signification. 1 Corinthians, interesting book. Paul spends the first 11 chapters in the book of 1 Corinthians dealing with problems in the church. There's not a problem that can come up in God's church that Paul hasn't dealt with. We have the scriptures to tell us how to handle it. So he deals with the problems in the church for 11 chapters. Chapters 12 through 16, the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, teaches us how to construct our lives to please the Lord. And that's what we're here for. We are here to please the Lord. Chapter 14 deals with the proper use of the ability to speak in a language that is not familiar to the crowd that we're talking to. It is good if you have mastered a language other than your own. I have been working all my life to master the English language. I speak native hillbilly. One of these days, I hope I'll learn enough English that I can get by before I have to go home. We are not talking, I believe, about a language here that is unknown to anybody other than God. I think when Paul discusses the use of tongues, he is talking about languages that are known to somebody. And a lot of people make it a matter of pride to speak in a language that nobody else can understand because they want to call the attention to themselves. That's not good. If somebody doesn't understand what you are saying, how are they going to respond to you? It's fine to know another language. It's great. That's fantastic. God bless you if you can. Learn to speak the one you have well. I reminded of something of my youth. You know, I'm at the age now where I look back and there's more behind than certainly there is forward. But I remember as a kid, Christmas time was the greatest time of the year. Now, compared to Christmases today, we didn't have much, but I didn't know it. Neither did anybody else. My mother was the youngest of 8 children. And to my knowledge, she was the only one that finished high school. And my mother was the sweetest, godliest lady I have ever known. But she had a diabolical sense about her at times. My mother would write on a piece of paper, "Christmas list" in English. And then she would proceed to fill in things down below that, in a language that she learned in high school called French. And she would leave that list laying around. Well, you know, we all wanted to know what was coming for Christmas. And she says, it's no secret, there's the list. But it was written in French. Sometimes she would switch up on us, and she would write her list in Greg shorthand. And you know, that's just as much French to me as anything else. But I didn't understand it. But she didn't want me to. God wants us to speak in languages that people can understand. If you haven't figured it out yet, it's time to realize that life is full of choices. I'm 81 years old, soon be 82. I've had a lot of choices to make in my life. Some of them right, some of them wrong. The best choice I ever made in my life was at the age of 10 when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He's walked with me ever since. I haven't always walked with Him, but He's always walked with me. One thing I learned in the past few years, our choices are not always between good and bad. Wouldn't it be nice if that was all we had to discern? This is bad, turn it down. This is good, take it. They're not so, it's not that easy. Many times, our choices are between good, better, and best. Let me give you an example. If we went into a restaurant and we looked at the menu, we'd have to make a decision. We have choices to make. Is it the barbecue ribs? Boy, I love barbecued ribs. How about fried chicken? Oh man, I'd die for fried chicken. Any preacher that doesn't like fried chicken, there's something wrong with him. Or would that be a steak? There's nothing like a good steak. None of those choices are bad. They're all good, proper choices. But for us, we have to decide what's good, what's better, and what's best. It is good if you can speak in another language. God bless you. If you're fluent in more than one language, that's great. But the Bible says it's better if you practice charity. Love in action with a proper motive is the definition for charity. Love in action with a proper motive. Love is an emotion, that pitter-patter that used to come in the heart. That's an emotion. Charity is an action. Charity not only has feelings, but charity has hands, and charity has feet, and charity has an open pocketbook. That's the definition of charity. Charity is better. But the Bible says it is best if we can prophesy. Now, the word prophesy in the Bible does not mean that we are to write scripture and we're going to tell what's going to happen in the future. We have a completed scripture that tells us that. Prophecy for the Christian is telling forth the Word of God. Telling somebody what God has already told us in the Bible. Testifying. Witnessing. That is what prophecy is. We talk about what God has already written. We have it all. We don't have to look for it. We've got it right here. You make sure you're not talking in the wife ear. That's the ear that doesn't hear what's coming out. All of us have been guilty about that. Our wives will tell us things that she wants to tell us, and I don't know whether it's a hollow space in between the two ears or what, but it goes right on straight through, and it never registers. So we need to be selective and let some stuff go right on through and not register. When you're listening to what the world has to say, sometimes It does good to use your wife here. What do we want to watch out for? Watch for voices from the outside. Don't listen to the voice of doubt. In Genesis chapter 3, we see our example. We have a perfect man and a perfect woman in a perfect place with everything necessary for them to live a perfect life. And a snake slithers into the garden. And he says to Eve, well, he knew he better not talk to Adam. So he talked to Eve. And he says, yea, hath God said. He said, did God really say that? Did God really say that you're not supposed to eat of that one tree? What is God trying to hold back from you? God ought to bless you completely, but I think he's holding something back. And you think about that now, Eve. If God really wanted and loved you, he would let you have all of that. And the devil planted a seed of doubt in Eve's mind. And seeds do what seeds do. Seeds grow. And that seed grew. And it got so that that seed overwhelmed everything else that Eve had been taught. And she took of the tree. And she ate it. And she gave it to Adam. And Adam had a choice. He says, do I obey God or do I lose my wife? If I obey God, I lose my wife. If I disobey God, I keep my wife. She's all that I have. Adam doesn't get off scot-free on that. He went in with his eyes open. Doubt. What do you do about doubt? You hear every such idea in the world coming across on the news media. What do you do with it? Well, you hold your statement up to the Word of God. A well-used Bible drives away doubt. What does God say about the issue? If you are reading your Bible and studying your Bible like you ought to be as a Christian, you will know what God's stand is. God takes a stand on everything. God doesn't leave anything to doubt. You pay attention to the Word of God, what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? We need to be careful what we listen to and tune it out. Be careful when you listen to the voices of doubt. Second voice we need to watch for is the voice from the inside. Don't listen to the voice of delay. 2 Samuel chapter 11, we see David, God's chosen king, victorious in everything that he touched. His army's out fighting. David is a king, supposed to be with his army. David says, you know, that's a small town. They won't have much trouble with that. I need a vacation. I'm going to stay home. He took an afternoon nap. He got off, looked out, walked out on the roof there, and he saw a young lady bathing on the privacy of her rooftop. She would have been private had David been where he was supposed to be. David said, I'll go visit the troops later. And it led to adultery. murder, attempted cover-up, and disgrace. It led to the death of four of his children. And it certainly didn't please God. God was not at all pleased. You and I, we're just like David. We're built for the battlefield. We're not built for the barracks. We're supposed to be in the fight. We're supposed to be out there fighting the fight, witnessing, doing the things that God wants us to do. What could I say to you? Don't get lazy on God. It's so easy to get lazy on God. We have a world around us that is dying without Christ and headed for a devil's hell. Many of those in that world are family members. Where is our compassion? I think if Christians would get a vision of their loved ones with their feet in the lake of fire, things would be different in Christianity today. We've lost that vision. Be careful when you listen to the voice of delay. I'm reminded of something that happened in my life. And I think probably one day I'll stand before God and I'll be asked about this. We had a good friend, a religious person, very religious, done all the things proper, never missed a service, but in a denomination that didn't teach you had to be saved to go to heaven. This person had cancer. We had a good testimony with her, and she respected us, and we talked to her about the gospel. We spoke many times and visited with her, and I knew that we needed to sit down and just one-on-one talk to her about her soul. We went over to her house. People all over the place. She was sitting down. She was doing some things. In fact, she had her checkbook out. She was balancing her checkbook. And we talked for a while. And I said, I want to pray for you. We bowed our heads and we prayed. And we got done. And she looked at me. And she looked at my wife and she said, "That was beautiful." She says, "I've gone to church all my life. I have never learned to pray." She said, "I've said a lot of prayers. Would you teach me how to pray?" People running around. And I said, "Yes, I would love to. I'll tell you what, we'll be back tomorrow morning and we'll sit down and I'll teach you what God had to say about prayer." And of course, my thought was, the first prayer you need to make is ask Jesus Christ to save your soul. We got a call about 8 o'clock in the morning and she passed into eternity. Delay. We should never listen to the voice of delay. Do it now. When God speaks to your heart about something or someone, do it now. The next voice we need to watch for is the voice from alongside. Don't listen to the voice of discouragement. John chapter 21, we see Simon Peter. Traveled over 3 years with the Lord. Walked on the water and walked to Jesus. Witnessed the feeding of the 5,000 from a few fishes and a few loaves. Watched the dead raised. watched the blind given sight, watched the crippled healed, and watched His Lord and Savior die on Calvary's cross, and saw Him and talked to Him after He came out of the tomb and was resurrected. What do we find Simon Peter doing? Simon Peter says to some of his friends, "I go a fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with you." And several disciples go back because of a discouraged leader. We can't afford to be discouraged. Those other disciples were watching Peter. They looked up to Peter. Peter was the one that always was the first one to open his mouth. And sometimes he inserted his foot. But he always opened his mouth. He always had something to say. And he always stood for Jesus. He failed him. Jesus talked to him again, brought him back into fellowship. And now he wants to go fishing. Who is watching you? There are people that have their eye on every one of us. We are a witness and a testimony to somebody. Who are we watching? We have someone that we look up to. We need to learn to stay away from discouragements. Stay away from discouraging people. And we need to keep our eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. People fail. All of us do. There's not a one in this room that hasn't failed. But Jesus never fails. What would I tell you tonight? Stay away from the wet blankets. You know who they are. You know who they are. Absolutely. When you're around them, they drag you down. They never have a good word. And the old adage holds true. You can't soar with the eagles if you're going to run with the turkeys. And too many times, we run with turkeys, and it keeps us from doing what we're supposed to be as Christians. Beware the naysayers. With some people, and you know, if I ask you individually to name somebody, you could probably come up with a name or two. Somebody that everything is a no to. Everything that comes up is a no. Everything is negative. Reminds me of the story of the church. They had a problem. They needed a chandelier for the lobby. And they had this beautiful chandelier. And they voted, had a church vote. They were going to vote about buying this expensive chandelier for the lobby. And this old deacon, he says, "We don't need no chandelier." He says, "First of all, it costs too much. And we don't need to spend that kind of money. We just don't need it. And furthermore, we don't have anybody in this church that can play a chandelier. And what we need, if we're going to spend some money, we need some light in the entryway." But he had to say no. Everything was a no. Stay positive. Because we know we have the book. We know what the end is. We know the end from the beginning. God tells us that the road to destruction is broad and the way to heaven is narrow. The broad road has room for many. The narrow road has room for a few. We are not here as a church to draw a crowd by conforming to the ways of the world. We could draw a crowd if we want. All we'd have to do is put a band up here. And I tear the knees out of my drawers. tear the tie off, get a t-shirt with holes in it, and a stool, and get rid of the pulpit, we could fill the place up. But look what you got. We have the come as you are and leave as you came group. That's not what God is after. God says many are called, few are chosen. We are not here to draw a crowd by conforming to the world and its methods. We are here to win the few that as best we can. Everyone out there needs to hear the gospel. Not everyone will accept it. We have the ministry we support through our senior saints, the Southeast Asian Orphan Fellowship. They rescue those orphans from some of the awfulest places you have ever seen, living in pigsties and barns under bridges. Nobody to take care of them, begging for their food. And they rescue them. They build them a house. They send them to school. They feed them. They clothe them. They house them. And they teach them about Jesus. And roughly 30 to 40% of those accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You say, how ungrateful can they be? Not ungrateful, that's just a fact. The person that is everything is done for and you witness to and you cry over and everything else, if that person still has a free will, they can say yes or no. We are to continue to win those that we can, those that would accept the message. We're to win the few as best we can. Don't ever expect to win a crowd. That hasn't happened in a long time. What voices do we listen to? First of all, we listen to the voice of God. Stay in the Bible. Stay in it every day. Start your day with the Word of God. Get something out of there that you can think on and meditate the day long. Listen to God's voice. What else do we need to hear? We need to hear the voice of the lost. There are lost people out there that don't know they're lost. They don't know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. They don't understand that. Help us. And we don't know what we need. We need to continue to be a witness and a testimony. Third thing, the voice of the missionary. We need to listen to them. This is a mission-minded church. God has blessed this church because we have listened to the voice of the missionary. We need to support. I am amazed that anybody in this church would vote against taking on a missionary. A missionary that has come, present their field, prayed over, going someplace that we won't go, or we can't go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It amazes me that anyone would vote against that. But yet we have people that do. We need to hear the voice of the missionary and support those that go to places where we are not able to go. The Bible says, no voice is insignificant. Every voice has a meaning. And sorry to say, every voice has an agenda. Some good, some bad. We need to learn to discern those voices and follow the good, the better, and the best. And if we do that, we'll be in the center of God's will ourselves. Father, help us to discern the voices around us in this troubling world. Help us to hold each voice up to the Word of God and see how it measures up to what you say. And Lord, help us to choose the best. For many of us, It's not a decision between bad and good, but it's a decision of good, better, and best. Help us to stay in the center of your will and under the windows of heaven, and help us to seek the best for ourselves, our church, our families, our country, and our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.